Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 11. One verse. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I'm telling you, there is a wealth of Bible truth just in that one verse. I'd like to minister in the service today on Sarah, woman of faith. Sarah was a tremendous woman of faith. I know Abraham gets a lot of top billing, and fourth chapter of Romans, it's a classic concerning faith and what you do when you don't know what to do. And then, of course, even in Hebrews 11, we see Abraham referred to. Sarah gets one verse, and in that one verse, it tells the whole story of how a woman of God used what God gave her, and God used it and brought it out on the high side of victory. So much is said about Abraham. Books have been written, seminars have been taught, sermons have been preached. We wax eloquent when we talk about Abraham. But never forget that Isaac was a child brought to birth not only by Abraham, but by Sarah. There would have been no Isaac if Sarah's faith had not been on the line. You know, faith partnership must begin with a strong personal faith in God. And I believe that their faith was a growing, progressive faith. So many times we're guilty of preaching the Bible that you feel like you're some kind of a third-class citizen if you're not in the upper echelon of what's happening. God needs every ounce of faith in the kingdom of God to accomplish the things that we need to see around us. Now, God has never used all of His power, but God in His power responds to our faith. And I believe that Abraham and Sarah's faith was a growing, progressive faith, being perfected and growing until they each locked into a faith that a child of promise could come from two dead parents. As far as they were concerned, what it took to produce a child and carry a child, they were past the time of life, far past that time in life. Which sounds like so much of what the Bible teaches us. When it seems like it's all over, it's not all over. And the first report's not the last report. Because if your faith is in God, the best is yet to come. And even the last report is not the last report when your trust and your faith is in God. It's interesting that three religions claim Abraham as their father. The Muslims, the Jews, the Christians. All three say that Abraham is their spiritual father. They look back to Abraham. In fact, Abraham's the father of faith that we look to being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It all goes back to Abraham. Or does it? It all goes back to Abraham and Sarah. And I want to say something that I think is so important. I can never forget that two very strong forces in my life were the force of a godly grandmother, bit of a fanatic, but boy, sure. You know, when you need something, you want a fanatic. When you need healing, you want a fanatic. When you need something special, you don't want someone passive. You want a fire-breathing, believing in the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, person who is a fanatic. You don't want an amateur working on your project. You want a fanatic, right? Well, an almost totally overlooked truth is that the Bible said Sarah herself, through faith also Sarah, through faith also Sarah, received strength to conceive seed. Sarah shows all of us that the power and the need of a personal faith in God produces supernatural results. We preach and do everything within our power to encourage men to stand up and be men of God. And we have, thank God for the men that we have in this church. Some of you don't know how to praise God for it. When I was a little boy growing up in church, I wondered where all the men were. I really did, because 90% of our church, if not more, was the ladies. Thank God for the ladies. I don't know where the church would have been without the ladies. But somewhere along the line, thank God men have begun to rally and become men of faith. And churches are so blessed in that today. But coming back to Sarah and what made her great, you know, today many women seek their identity and their self-worth and importance in many, many ways that literally are contrary to the Word of God. I was in a hair shop the other day, and there were two or three magazines. Well, one said, life is in the perfume that you wear. You know, your self-worth, your who you are. Another one said it was in the sports car that you drive. Another one, it's in the wardrobe. It's, you know, knowing how to dress. Another one, it's, you know, that you look right and that you have all the things that we deeply appreciate. Thank God for you ladies. Amen. You increase the beauty of the environment considerably. But I tell you, it's not perfume, it's not your wardrobe, it's not so many of the things that the world looks to. In fact, if you listen to the movies and the novels, and you'd think it was all sex today, but it's not. Our world is crazy with sex. The world is in trouble because of that. In Uganda, they were so thrilled. They were getting, what is it, MTV? And in one of the shops there in the Sheraton, I looked at some of the stuff that was coming over, some of the previews, and I said, God, I drop my head and repent that that comes from here. We're giving them a gift. Yeah, right. But let's get back to the positive side of it. Jesus meets us on the level where we are. Abraham was not perfect. Aren't you gentlemen glad for that? Sarah was not perfect. Aren't you ladies happy about that? Yes, she laughed. Yes, she was a part of trying to help God out in the birth of the promised child. But how many of us have tried to help God out? How many of us have... Every decision that you've made has been a perfect decision or a right decision. You know, we're all here by the grace of God today. Now, I know some religious folks may not agree with that, but we don't have many religious folks around here. We are here because of the grace of God. God looked beyond our faults. God looked beyond our weaknesses. God looked beyond bad decisions on a given situation. And God looked beyond our faults and He saw our need. Jesus meets us on the level of faith where we are now, and helps us to grow stronger every day. But you got to start somewhere. You've got to start somewhere. Somewhere this growth process has to begin. And I'm here to tell you that you don't get it all by the laying on of hands. You don't get it all by just one sermon that a minister preaches or a lesson that someone teaches. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We grow. And we grow in grace. It takes time, but you must start somewhere. Sarah was not always on the level of her faith that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. But thank God she grew. Now, Sarah's life and faith was not always perfect, but Sarah didn't quit. She just kept growing. She kept increasing in her walk with God. She refused to quit. She learned by trusting God daily, just like all of us learn to trust God daily. Now, what makes this story so great? Well, let me give you some insights into Sarah, a woman of faith. What made Sarah a woman of faith? Sarah had a strong personal faith in God. A strong personal faith in God. And everyone in this room today can have a growing, stronger, everyday, personal faith in God. It all starts with a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal faith in God, a daily walk with God, believing God in the small things because small things become big things. Sarah had a strong personal faith in God, but her faith also was her strength. The Bible said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Your faith in God is your strength. Thank God for healthy bodies. Thank God for increasing wisdom in our diets, and we encourage that, and we're all reaching out to do that and to be that. But let me tell you that Sarah's ultimate strength was God. David said it best in Psalms 27, "The Lord is the strength of my life." The Lord is the strength of my life. Things, people, other things are not the strength of your life. She receives strength from God. So Sarah had a strong personal faith in God. By faith also Sarah received strength. Her strength was because of her faith in God. Your strength is because of your faith in God. But there's something that faith accomplished. We're moving all around it here. Her faith was a conceiving faith. Now, some people have a feel-good faith. Some people have a rejoicing faith. Some people have different levels and different ways of expressing their faith. But somewhere, you've got to hook faith up with getting the job done. Somewhere, you must tie in to the fact that there were promises that as yet had not been fulfilled. And I tell you, thank God for Abraham, but it was not Abraham alone that brought about the birth of Isaac. The Bible said Sarah also herself received strength. And what did she receive strength for? To conceive. To conceive. If I could reverently say it, and I think Dr. Cho probably has made this famous all over the world of talking about being pregnant. Now that's a world that men don't understand. Heard someone say the other day, there'd be less babies in our house if my husband had to carry them. Well, be that as it may, we look like we understand and we try to understand and we reach out to try to be as understanding as we can be, but only you ladies know that part of it. But her faith was her strength, but her personal faith brought conception, the conception of God's promises for her family. Somewhere, let me say it again, you've got to hook your faith. Thank God for all the blessings, the overflow. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. But somewhere you've got to tie your faith into getting something done. And the truth of it is that everything in a New Testament church is by faith. Everything in a New Testament believer's life that is worthwhile is by faith. Everything that comes out of our ministries is by faith. It's by faith. If it's not by faith, it's the product of the flesh. And what's the product of God is going to live and it's going to grow and it's going to be a blessing. I know this truth in one way is very basic and very simple, but God is challenging us today. Thank God for all the wonderful, charismatic benefits of faith. But somewhere faith has got to tie in. You've got to put that trailer hitch, hook it up to what's going to tow it. Somewhere faith must hook up to get the job done. In your finances, or in your marriage, or in your personal life, or in your health issues. You've got to tie faith together. It's not a play pretty. It's not a buzzword. Faith in God will get the job done when nothing else can get the job done. I have a strong sense that we're communicating today. The cry of my heart is, I don't want to go through life and say, well, he really enjoyed faith. I don't want to just really enjoy faith. I want my faith to hook up to conceive what God wants this pastor to be a part of. I want this church to hook up in faith to all that God has for us to do, and there is much yet to be done. I know you're smart, and I know you got that the first time, but let me just hit it one more time. I want every person that has ears to hear and hearts to receive, just say, I'm not going to leave here just enjoying my faith. I'm going to hook my faith up, and I'm going to see a conception of the promise of God in me and our marriage and our children and our grandchildren. There was a conception. Her faith brought about a conception of God's promise for that son, Isaac, to be born. But some of you are preaching ahead of me if you read that verse. I've never seen so much in one verse in a long time. Her faith not only brought conception, her faith brought deliverance. Sometimes babies carried do not come to birth. Sometimes. But I'm talking about faith babies. I'm talking about the promises of God. I'm talking about the miracles of God. I'm talking about what our world so desperately needs. You look at our world situation, please understand there is no answer to the Middle East situation except what I'm talking about. There is no answer to our nation. Our nation desperately needs. I know economically we're doing better, even though we're at war, but I'm telling you, our nation desperately needs a spiritual revival. Our world definitely, desperately needs a revelation of Jesus Christ, not of Mohammed, not of Buddha, not of Hare Krishna, not of any of the isms. Our world desperately needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that gospel is being preached by radio and television, and it's more available today than it's ever been. But wait a minute, that's where we are. Could we have conceived, but as yet we've not delivered? Maybe that's so much of where ministries are today and the church is today. Maybe we've not conceived as yet, but we're going in that direction. Maybe we have conceived, but the cry of our heart, the cry of intercession, the cry of the church, the cry of the ministry, the cry of the body of Christ is, oh God, help us to deliver what we have conceived. To see it come to birth, to see it come to pass, to not just be encouraged in another church service. And I submit to you, and I believe this with all of my heart, I believe the Passion is a supernatural example of how God is able to bring deliverance of something that has been conceived. Because the Passion probably has touched more people's lives, is going all over the world. We've all given it the best shot we knew how to give it. We preached it, we taught it, we shouted it from the housetops, and when we got through we thought, oh God, did we even scratch the surface of what the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about? But oh, child of God, God takes no Catholic boy. And he says time and time again, when I didn't know what to do, Mel Gibson said, the Holy Ghost would come upon me and I would know what to do. That's what we need. Not just to conceive. Many a businessman has conceived an idea, but there needs to be deliverance of that. Many a marriage has the conception of what we could be and what we ought to be. It's time for deliverance. It's time for the baby to be brought to birth that is in the womb. It's time for the victory, the healing, the celebration, the evangelism. Something that will impact our world. Bring about what the Bible said when that last person has heard the gospel of Christ, we'll be out of here. Do you see it? Faith is wonderful. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But oh, there must be conception. But we can't just say yes. We believe that part of it. But God's, I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's not only time for conception, it's time for deliverance. It's time to bring to birth. It's time to see. It's time for the manifestation. It's time to see God do what only God can do. I see it all the time. Doctors say, I don't understand religion. I don't understand faith. But this would be categorized as a miracle. See, even medical science recognizes, and we have several of you sitting in this audience today, when medical science said there is no answer, there is no way, conception became deliverance. And healing touched you and touched yours. Conception. I mean, this is a revelation, rhema word to many people in this audience today. I've never made a statement like that, but I just see little fires just all over this audience. God is speaking different things to different ones, and God is revealing His word. It's time for conception to become deliverance. That we deliver what has been conceived. You see, her faith not only brought conception, it brought the deliverance of her faith child. She conceived, but by faith, she delivered. I want to say something to mothers today. Mothers, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. Grandmothers, don't stop. Don't quit. Do not give up. When children seem the most unthankful, when families seem the most leave us alone, you're dealing with life and death, you're dealing with eternity, you're dealing with ever-living, never-dying souls, and if you don't care, who will care? If you don't stand in the hedge and make up the gap of conception becoming deliverance for your children and for your grandchildren to be born again. You know, there's something that's so in my heart. You know, we're happy if our kids or our grandkids can just dress better than we dressed. Or maybe they can drive a little better than we drove. Or maybe they could, excel in certain things. That's good. That's good. But the cry of my heart is, God's will is not that there be a dumbing down spiritually. God wants our children and God wants our grandchildren, the fire of their life, to burn brighter than our fires ever thought about burning. I heard Kenneth Hagin say it so many times during his life, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, I anticipate, I prophesy, I look forward that those that have been influenced by this ministry will accomplish far more than I have accomplished in my life and ministry. And when I first heard him say that, I thought, how could that be? Because he's so greatly impacted so many of our lives. I'm angry at this world system. I hate the wrong side of television. I hate the wrong side of the movies. I hate sin. I hate it with every gut in my being. I hate it with every ounce of my being. Sin is a killer. God did not give us our children and our grandchildren to go to hell or to live in hell on their way to hell. God gave us our children by the grace of God to rise up and be more spiritual than we ever thought we were. Dad and every mother, every grandfather and every grandmother, stay with the promise until it delivers. Stay on the promise until it delivers. Stay on the promise. Stay on your promise. Many of you know that you have a promise. Don't let Satan wear you out. Don't let Satan make you to become weary and well-doing. Don't let life pull you down and pull you back. Rise to the occasion and say, by God's grace, we will see this thing through. Stay with your promise until it delivers. Time went by. We don't like the clock to tick. Television has taught us that everything's settled in 30 minutes or an hour. It's not. It's not all settled in a day or a week or a month. Time went by. Will the promised child ever come? We helped God out, and you know what we got. We've all tried to do that. I've done my best, but my best was not good enough. But I believe there came a maturity in Abraham's faith. You don't hear faith teachers teaching what I'm teaching right now. I mean, you just think that Abraham just came out of the box, and I mean, this is the greatest man of faith that ever walked. And Sarah, a little crazy, but she came through, you know. I'm telling you, faith grows. You don't get there overnight. Faith and maturity, it grows. It even takes, all things being equal, 9 months to have a baby that is conceived to be delivered. See, that's where most people just become weary and well-doing. There is a reason. I know you've heard it. And you say, well, I know that verse as well as you do. Be not weary and well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I've heard that and heard that and heard that. But, oh God, we need to hear it. And we need to hear it, because it's the long stretch. It's those between the dots. It's between the manifestations that we become weary. And we think, well, maybe I'll do something else. Would it ever happen? She's past the time of life. Abraham is past the time of life. I mean, God let them be good and dead. I'm telling you, there was no hope. I could go another direction there, but I'll just leave that alone. Let me just say today, ladies, we need your faith. We need your prayers. We need your faith. We need your prayers. Don't become weary in well-doing. I was upstairs just reviewing some thoughts that I had, and I opened Strong's Concordance that I had. Janet had the most distinctive way of printing. I mean, if you ever saw it, you'd never forget it. It's all through her devotional. And as I looked in that Strong's, it was a relatively new, it looked like. It was the larger print. It was nice Strong's, but as I was checking out that she judged. Notice in verse 11, the Bible said that she judged him faithful. I was looking at judged, and I saw that Janet had written out some things there. And she wrote in her own handwriting, God is able. God is able. You see, Sarah judged, and her verdict was, God is able. Isn't that something that I would run across that? Didn't even know it was there. Because she would often study certain things out. God is able. It shall come to pass. See, when Sarah judged, her verdict was that God is able. That it will come to pass. That there was a promise, and God's powerful enough to fulfill his promises. And God will give me the strength to do what he's called me to do. See, we can't do what God's called us to do. But as I looked at that, Janet's writing right there in Strong's Concordance, I don't know what she was checking out, but it had there, God is able. God is able. God is able. Child of God, I want you to get a hold of that in your spirit today. God is able. What brought Sarah from conception to deliverance to the child? She judged God. The problem is, many times we judge that God's not faithful, that God's not going to do it, that for some reason it won't come to pass. And our judgment of God is erroneous. Our judgment of the things of God cost us the manifestation. But she judged that God was faithful. She judged that God was able. And her judgment was an accurate judgment. There came a time in Abraham's life. There came a time in Sarah's life. And I pray, God, it'll happen to every person in this audience. You've been in and out and up and down and all around, and we get on, we get off, we get all fired up, and then we cool off. It's time to do what Abraham and Sarah did. I believe there was a time Abraham said, I'll not back off from this moment forward. I believe there was a time when Sarah said, I will not back off from this moment forward. And they locked into faith. They locked into faith together. They locked in their faith together. They locked in their faith together. And the child was born. Sarah was a great woman of faith. Appreciate Abraham. Couldn't have done it without him, but Abraham could not have done it without Sarah. Abraham was a great woman of faith. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged God faithful who had promised. Do you judge God faithful today? Do you judge God faithful today? My mother judged God faithful that all three of her boys would be born again. God honored that verdict. God honored her judgment. I want this thing of conception and deliverance to live on in your heart. It's time not only for conception, but it's time for deliverance. It's time for your dreams to come true. It's time for things to change. It's time for enlargement to come. It's time for financial blessing to come. It's time for things to change God's way. We used to sing a little chorus years ago, let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish, your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Maybe that's what we need to do today, is let go and get a new grip on faith. Let go of your reasoning. Let go of the yeah. Let go of the hurts, why things didn't happen and why God seem to be too late in our situation. It's time to let go and let God have His wonderful way.